Good morning, everyone, and a very warm welcome to this online service from Oney Baptist Church. My name is Sid Bond, and I am one of the elders at the church. In this service of praise and worship, we are continuing in the book of Acts. In fact, this morning, we are in the very last chapter, which is chapter 28. The scripture for this week is taken from Isaiah chapter 8, verse 10. And it says this: "Devise your strategy, but it will be thwarted. Purpose your plan, but it will not stand, for God is with us." Let us pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you and we do praise you because you are Lord of all things. We thank you for spring, in which we see new growth. It reminds us that you are the one who planned the seasons, and the birds and animals are fed by your hand. You stretched the sky across the heavens and raised up the mountains, and yet even in your greatness we can call you Father, and you are near to each one of us. May the Holy Spirit teach us more about Jesus and give us receptive hearts and minds, for we do pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our first hymn this morning is hymn number 405, "Now Thank We All Our God." And this reminds us to thank God for watching over us throughout our lives. And he not only watches over us, but he blesses us and guides us as well. First reading of the morning, and this is a short reading, Sue is reading for us, and it's taken from Proverbs chapter 21, verses 29 to 31.
The wicked put up a bold front, but the upright give thought to their ways. There is no wisdom, no insight, no plan that can succeed against the Lord. The horse is made ready for the day of battle, but victory rests with the Lord.
We are going to pray again, so let's all pray together, bow our heads in prayer as we come to God. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for making us your people. We thank you that we can speak directly to you, and you never turn us away. You are a forgiving and loving Heavenly Father who is slow to anger and swift to bless. And our trust is in you, for you are our salvation and our strength. You have given us your truth, and we praise you for that. We thank you for the freedom we have in this country, and for all you have blessed us with. We thank you for the hospitals and our local surgery, for the emergency services, and the continuing rollout of the vaccine. We thank you for all of these things. We pray for the government and their advisors, that you would guide them to make the right decisions, that they would be sympathetic to the needs of the poor and disadvantaged. Father, you are a God of mercy, and so we bring to you the lonely, the homeless, the poor, and struggling one-parent families. We do ask you would meet their needs and improve their situations. We also pray for those who are suffering mentally because of the current pandemic, that they will receive treatment and support, and Father, that you would give them peace, and that you would help their families and give them peace as well. For the country of Syria, Father, we pray. This week is the 10th anniversary of the war. We've seen so much devastation, injury and death in that country, with devastated families and communities. Father, please bring peace to Syria. Bring healing. And raise up peacemakers, we pray. Father, we pray for other countries where people struggle for justice. We bring Myanmar and Belarus to you and pray for peace there. And finally, we pray for the spiritual health of our country. Bring revival to this land and cause men and women to turn to you for salvation. And Father, we thank you that you can never fail. Amen. We're going to have a song now, and it's number 312, Jesus, You Are the Radiance of the Father's Glory. And it speaks of Jesus, God's Son, who died for our sins. And also, he sustains us and helps us as we follow him. Thank you. We now come to our second reading, and Sue is going to read Acts chapter 28, the whole chapter.
Once safely on shore, we found out that the island was called Malta. The islanders showed us unusual kindness. They built a fire and welcomed us because it was raining and cold. Paul gathered a pile of brushwood, and as he put it on the fire, a viper, driven out by the heat, fastened itself on his hand. When the islanders saw the snake hanging from his hand, they said to each other, "This man must be a murderer, for though he escaped from the sea, the goddess Justice has not allowed him to live." But Paul shook the snake off into the fire and suffered no ill effects. The people expected him to swell up or suddenly fall dead. But after waiting a long time and seeing nothing unusual happen to him, they changed their minds and said he was a god. There was an estate nearby that belonged to Publius, the chief official of the island. He welcomed us to his home and showed us generous hospitality for 3 days. His father was ill in bed, suffering from fever and dysentery. Paul went in to see him, and after prayer placed his hands on him and healed him. When this had happened, the rest of those on the island who were ill came and were cured. They honoured us in many ways, and when we were ready to sail, they furnished us with the supplies we needed. After 3 months, we put out to sea in a ship that had wintered in the island. It was an Alexandrian ship with a figurehead of the twin gods Castor and Pollux. We put in at Syracuse and stayed there 3 days. From there we set sail and arrived at Rhegium. The next day the south wind came up, and on the following day we reached Puteoli. There we found some believers who invited us to spend a week with them, and so we came to Rome. The believers there had heard that we were coming, and they travelled as far as the Forum of Appius and the Three Taverns to meet us. At the sight of these people, Paul thanked God and was encouraged. When we got to Rome, Paul was allowed to live by himself with a soldier to guard him. 3 days later, we called together the local Jewish leaders. When they had assembled, Paul said to them, "My brothers, although I have done nothing against our people or against the customs of our ancestors, I was arrested in Jerusalem and handed over to the Romans. They examined me and wanted to release me because I was not guilty of any crime deserving death. The Jews objected, so I was compelled to make an appeal to Caesar. I certainly did not intend to bring any charge against my own people. For this reason I have asked to see you and talk with you. It is because of the hope of Israel that I am bound with this chain." They replied, "We have not received any letters from Judea concerning you, and none of our people who have come from there has reported or said anything bad about you. But we want to hear what your views are, for we know that people everywhere are talking against this sect." They arranged to meet Paul on a certain day, and came in even larger numbers to the place where he was staying. He witnessed to them from morning till evening, explaining about the kingdom of God, and from the law of Moses and from the prophets he tried to persuade them about Jesus. Some were convinced by what he said, but others would not believe. They disagreed among themselves and began to leave after Paul had made this final statement. "The Holy Spirit spoke the truth to your ancestors when he said through Isaiah the prophet, 'Go to this people and say, you will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. Therefore I want you to know that God's salvation has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will listen.' For 2 whole years Paul stayed in his own rented house, and welcomed all who came to see him. He proclaimed the kingdom of God, and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ, with all boldness and without hindrance."
Now, if you follow us every week, last week, you will remember, we heard about Paul's dramatic and stormy shipwreck, where everybody on board was saved from the sea. I want you to imagine you are on a beach on the island of Malta. It's not a sunny or warm morning. It's not a bucket and spade kind of day. No, it's cold and raining, and the 276 survivors of the shipwreck wander up the beach, bedraggled, weary and cold. But they're thankful to be alive. The islanders are kind to the group from the sea and light a fire to provide some warmth. Paul, being a practical man, picks up some brushwood to put on the fire. Within the wood is a snake stiff with cold, but the heat of the fire wakes up the snake, which fastens itself to Paul's hand. You can imagine gasps of surprise and fear from those who see this. They expect Paul to die, and their opinion is this: this man is a murderer. He has been saved from the sea, but justice will be served because he will die from the snake bite. But Paul doesn't die, and therefore they conclude he is a god. A big swing of opinion, you can see. But the islanders were to learn much more about Paul over the next 3 months. The chief official on the island was a man named Publius. We presume he was wealthy, for he owned an estate. He welcomed Paul and others to his home and entertained them for 3 days. His father was unwell, lying in bed sick with fever and dysentery. Paul goes to the sick man and prays for him, and the man is healed. When others who live on the island, also suffering with ill health, they hear of this, they came to Paul and they also were healed. What a great outcome for them. Jesus had a similar experience in Mark chapter 1. Jesus went to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was sick in bed with a fever. Jesus goes to her and heals her. That evening, all the sick and demon-possessed were brought to Jesus for healing. Many people gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many. When Paul arrived on the island of Malta, he probably only had the clothes he was wearing at the time. He had no cash to offer in return for hospitality, but he had the gospel to tell, and also to pray for God's healing for the people. These things are of much greater value, of course. You will remember the account of Peter and John in Acts chapter 3. They were going to the temple and came across this disabled beggar who could not walk. He'd been disabled since birth. The man asked for money. Peter replies to him, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." You know what happened. The man jumped up, walked, jumped again, and praised God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, Paul writes, "The marks of an apostle are signs, wonders, and miracles." We may not be apostles, but we do have God's truth and God's given gifts and abilities, which we can use in our service for God. I remember in the winter of 2019, a BBC News report of a young man in his 20s in Nottingham. He had given his 80-pound trainers to a homeless man on the street. When the young man was questioned later, he said he was a Christian, and that the homeless man's needs for new footwear was greater than his. When it was time for Paul and his party to leave the island, they were given supplies they needed for their onward journey to Rome. While they were on Malta, Paul and others were shown kindness and hospitality and were honoured by the people. It reminds us that God is the saviour of the everyday. He is in the ordinary things and the humble things of our lives to help us and to encourage us as we trust him. Of course, it was God who caused these unbelievers on Malta to behave in this kindly way and to welcome this group of strangers. I'll leave you to work out who benefited most from the visit. Was it Paul's group or was it the islanders themselves? After 3 months on Malta, a ship takes Paul and all others who are going to Rome. They arrive at the port of Puteoli in Italy and walk the rest of the way to Rome. On their walk to Rome, some Christians from the capital come to meet them. These Christians would have walked about 35 miles to meet Paul, and he is encouraged. He is, of course, going to Rome as a prisoner. From verse 16 on, we find Paul in Rome and allowed to live by himself with a Roman soldier to guard him. He calls together the leaders of the Jews. He wants them to know the truth of why he is a prisoner in Rome. And he emphasized three things to them. He says, "I have done nothing wrong against the Jewish people or their customs. I was arrested in Jerusalem," he says, "but the Romans found nothing against me and released me." And thirdly, he says, "But because the Jewish leaders objected to my release, I felt compelled to appeal to Caesar." Paul wanted to be open and honest with them about his situation. The Jewish leaders respond and say, "We have had no letters from Judea concerning you, and other Jews from that region have had nothing bad to say about you." But what these Jewish leaders wanted to know is Paul's view about the followers of Jesus. Because people everywhere, they say, are talking against this sect. In those days, the followers of Jesus, they were known as the Way. Paul arranged for the Jewish leaders to return. And when they did, they came in greater numbers. From morning till evening, Paul explained to them about the kingdom of God. Some of the hearers believed, but others were not convinced and disagreed among themselves. Paul reminded them of what Isaiah said to the people in the Old Testament. "You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused." Paul goes on to say to them, "God's salvation has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will listen." And it is the same today. Many are prepared to listen and to receive salvation. And sadly, many close their ears and refuse to believe. If there are any who are listening to this recording and you are not a follower of Jesus, don't leave it any longer. God is waiting to welcome you into his kingdom. For Jesus died on the cross for you. So here we are at the end of Acts. One of the major lessons we learn from these latter chapters is God's providence. That means God's care and protection. When we think about the experiences of Paul, he was arrested more than once, subjected to trials, imprisoned, threatened with assassination, nearly drowned at sea, and bitten by a snake. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11, it says, God works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. Not only did God watch over Paul, but he watches over us as well. We are his dear children, and we can be sure of his care and protection. A few weeks ago, I was listening to an online service where the speaker said, I haven't got any tattoos, but if I did have one, it would be on my arm and would say, God is for us. Another lesson we learn is that God's sovereign will is in play here in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 23, verse 11, the Lord says to Paul, As you have testified about me in Jerusalem, so you must also testify in Rome. And in Acts chapter 27, verse 24, the Lord speaks again to Paul and says, Do not be afraid, Paul, you must stand trial before Caesar. Jesus said to Paul, You will testify in Rome. And here is Paul now in Rome. We have no record that Paul did appear before Caesar, but we can be sure that he did, because Jesus said he would. As we read in verses 30 and 31 in this chapter 28, Paul stayed in his rented house for 2 years and preached the gospel. It reminds us that we have an unstoppable God and an unstoppable gospel. For nothing can thwart God's purposes and plans. So, my Christian brothers and sisters, give thanks to God for his providence, and give thanks to God for his sovereignty. And as Jesus delivered Paul safely to Rome, one day Jesus will deliver all of us who belong to him. He will deliver us safely to heaven. We come to our last hymn now. It's hymn number 135. God is working his purpose out. And it reminds us, God's word continues throughout the world over the years, and it will continue to do so until Jesus comes again. Close in prayer. I'd like to thank Sue for reading this morning and for Jonathan and Catherine for providing the song and the music. Let's close in prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can spend time in your presence. You are the eternal God. And heaven and earth belong to you. And Father, we love you and we look to you to continue to watch over us. So Father, help us in our daily lives as we follow after Jesus. Help us to be faithful disciples and to love you more and more. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.